Welcome to Birth Stories in Color, a podcast creating community for people of color to share and learn from birth stories of all types. We're your hosts, Laurel Gurrier
and Danielle Jackson.
Today with us, we have Courtney Williams, the CEO of Imagine Solutions Technology and creator of the Journey Pregnancy app.
Hi, Courtney. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure. It's so good to be with you, Laurel.
Yes. Can you start by telling a little bit about yourself and your family?
Sure. So I am a mom. I'm an entrepreneur. I live in Tucson, Arizona with my husband, my toddler, and my dog. And I also have, you know, extended family here in Arizona as well.
Well, let's start with, tell us a little bit about your pregnancy.
Yeah. So I got pregnant at the end of 2019, and, you know, all seemed pretty normal. And then boom, COVID, right? And everything started changing. So as we all know, all of our lives, there's not anybody that has come out of that unchanged. And so, I ended up giving birth like right at the height of the pandemic and sort of like the first wave. And it was in this time of uncertainty where it's like, can the birth partner come? Can my doula come? What can we do? Am I going to have to do this by myself? And I initially was thinking it was going to be a, you know, kind of like normal birth, whatever that is, you know, but that did not come to pass. So right before the week or two leading up to the birth, it looked as though my son was measuring too big. So then it was like, all right, then guess what? You're going to have a planned C-section. I said, great, no problem. I'm a type A person. I'm okay with that. It reduces my uncertainty. At least I know. But then the question came in like, can my doula come with me? Like, what are the restrictions? And, you know, at the end moment, we found out that no, my doula could not come in. And there was a question there at the end, like whether my husband could or not. And I feel so fortunate. I'm so glad that he was indeed. He ended up being able to do that. We got to the C-section. Everything seemed pretty normal. But in the hours and days after the C-section, my swelling just got worse and worse. And I stayed in the hospital an extra day. I came home. And so fast forward about 5 days after birth, I had this headache that would not go away. And I was getting chest pain, and it was really pronounced, like when I was just like walking around my house, when I went to go out get the mail, which was not far, and it got worse and worse. And then I noticed that I had a fluid line on my leg, and I was like, oh my gosh, like there's something off. This is not normal. This is not how it's supposed to be, you know, during the first week after birth. So I talked with my mom and I was like, I don't know what to do. I can't get a hold of my doctor, et cetera. She's like, you may be having a medical emergency. You need to go to the hospital. Like, so I did. And I am so glad I did that I went to the hospital when I did, because I actually turned out to be one of the people that ended up getting postpartum preeclampsia. And it was extraordinarily, I felt bad for so many reasons about it, because I had to be away from my baby right after birth. It's like, how do I pump in the hospital and get this milk back to my kid? I mean, I'm leaving my husband who we don't have any other kids. Like, this is our first child. Like, I'm leaving him alone with this baby. He didn't know what to do. He was lost. We didn't have any support. Nobody could come in and help us because we were worried about exposing people or getting exposed. It was extraordinarily difficult. I feel really fortunate. I ended up having an okay outcome. Obviously, I mean, I made it through. I got out of the hospital. And in the weeks that followed, I had to keep going back to my OB multiple times a week to get my blood pressure checked. And that whole experience was just surprising, that there was not technology to be able to communicate. We have blood pressure cuffs. We have EHRs. We have patient portals. I mean, we have all the things that preclude us from necessarily needing to have that face-to-face. You want to be at home with your family in that bonding time. You don't need to try to be finding childcare each time you're trying to go to the doctor. There's so many different barriers that already exist. So that piece left an indent in my mind and in my heart as I moved forward and into motherhood.
There are so many parts of your story where I'm just like, like you said, we have the technology, but like, why aren't we connecting the dots on how to utilize it efficiently for folks? Mm-hmm. And also thinking about, and with our other families who had their children like right at the height of the pandemic, it really showcased just that like large gap between getting home and the care and then that 6-week checkup, yes. Right? So I want to jump back a little bit and talk about like how you had your doula, like you got pregnant at the end of 2019 and then the pandemic hit. Like, how would you describe how your pregnancy was physically, like thinking about all that was occurring? How did you feel in your body? How was that piece? And then I'll ask my next question.
Yeah. I sort of skipped over that. Cause like that's a hard thing to want to go back to, frankly. The pregnancy itself initially like started off fine. I felt good. I didn't have any overwhelmingly difficult symptoms to manage. I mean, I had manageable morning sickness and all those things. And I feel really fortunate that I did. You know, I kept going to the gym every day. You know, I tried to eat right and do all the things that my doctor was telling me. But as soon as my gym access got kind of cut off, that's where I began to sort of see, I'm having trouble managing my stress. I don't feel like I have a physical interaction with anybody, like no community, nobody to talk to. That was sort of like the last piece of not being able to be in person with people and to try to resume at home, you know, doing workouts on YouTube and things like that. I made the best of it, but it was not what I wanted. And I really do think that it had an impact on my stress level, which who knows, maybe that is one of the reasons also that preeclampsia was not managed, and that it got to the case that it did. That's kind of how I felt. I mean, but physically, I guess another piece that I should mention is I was getting acupuncture as part of sort of my self-care and try to manage also the morning sickness and things. And that was extraordinarily helpful. The support system I have there with a naturopath that knows, you know, fertility and women's health and pregnancy and how to manage these symptoms during that process, I couldn't access her because, again, you know, that was yet another piece that was closed off. And so I think by not having access to emotional support, access maybe to these things that you expect and you go into pregnancy hoping for, that it has an impact on the longer term.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like without a doubt, absolutely. Because when we talk about it, when we tell people you're getting pregnant, you're trying to get pregnant, we want to decrease your stress level. We want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. We want to make sure you're in community with other folks. Mm-hmm. All of that was ripped away. Mm-hmm. All of it. While also trying to manage and plan for whether it be a C-section or whether it be spontaneous labor, who will be with me? Like we're expecting people to do this without support and experience that should never be done without support. And we're expecting people to like plan for that and the stress that can cause. I started thinking about, like you said, you went home, and for most folks, unless you're having like a home birth or have that midwifery care at home, you leave the hospital, you go home and they say, here are these things you should look for. Reach out to us. But if not, we'll see you in 6 weeks. And for many of us, we're like, yes, we get it. Like, here are the symptoms that you're talking about. But also in the midst of that, we're healing. We're trying to take care of a baby. We're trying to figure out like all these new transitions, and also trying to like pinpoint coming out of a birth fog and then trying to pinpoint like, am I well? Like, is this bad enough? Should I call my doctor? Do I have access to my doctor? Cause it's also still the pandemic for you. Like, and so then it's missed, right? Like luckily, and like you said, luckily you were able to talk to your mom, mm-hmm. and her kind of be like, yeah, I don't like this. I don't like the way that this sounds. You should definitely go in. But there are a lot of folks who are like, well, I have felt this way maybe in the past and I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just really how key it is that people have access to care in that in between someone, right? Whether it be, and I think it's, I also want to say, and we've talked about this a little bit, I think it is a lot to require of someone to have to think about that in the midst of all the things that I said. Yeah. Because like you mentioned, childcare, mm-hmm. getting there, planning for it, are their appointments open? Does your doctor view this as an emergency enough? Do I risk going to the ER? And again, while healing from a birth.
Totally.
So I just want everyone to sit with that for a minute.
Absolutely. Well, then also, like, I think for some folks, there might be a piece of denial too. Like, let's talk about like the global landscape, well, not global necessarily. Like, I mean, but let's talk about our US landscape, right? Like, we are in a maternal health crisis. Like, none of us individually wants to think that we are going to be impacted by this crisis, but there's an OB shortage. So our OBs are overworked. Like you were saying, like, they may not even be able to see us. They've got so many other patients. They've got so many other concerns going on, you know. Then there's like the access layers that aren't necessarily equal, especially like rural to urban. And you know, then of course there's like all these other layers of like bias that come into play for lots of folks. And for me, I went into my birth thinking like, I'm biracial, and like, where am I going to net out? Like, on one side of my family, there's great outcomes and there's not a lot. I mean, you can't even count on one hand the number of problems that have happened intergenerationally, right? And then on the other side of my family, like, not even the case at all. Like, my cousin had a really, really bad case of preeclampsia and almost died. You know, there are family members that have lost children late term. And it's just, as a patient, it kind of makes you wonder sometimes, like, where am I going to net out in this maternal health crisis? Am I going to be affected? Are the statistics real? I mean, it all comes into play while you're healing, as you mentioned.
Yes, all of that. You said you went in, you were having to get, you know, your blood pressure with the OB, managing all that while also like trying to support your husband and you trying to support each other through what this looks like. Am I still okay? What is this going to be like long term? I think you mentioned you were able to, you know, pump and get milk to your baby, but you know, we also think about folks who might not be having such a successful breast or chest feeding journey if that's what they needed, but also just like formula. I think there was during that time a formula shortage as well. It seems like a blur, but I'm still there, but it does seem like a blur. But I think there was also a formula shortage during that time. So just again, the layers upon layers when we think about maternal care as a whole, and how do we effectively support folks in those times and in these gaps? How are we effectively supporting folks within these gaps? So the beginning of your postpartum sounded like it had some things you had to really like work through. How did postpartum shift for you? And then how did we get to the Pregnancy Journey app?
Yeah. Coming physically recovering means a lot to a lot of different people. And so there's a component of intertwining the physical and the emotional recovery after birth, right? For everybody, even though everyone's journey is different. And so I think, you know, having a follow-up with a cardiologist after my event and getting assurance and getting imaging to be able to see with my own eyes, like, okay, all right, things are okay. They're going to be okay. I need to stay on top of it. But now I'm at a higher risk for, frankly, for heart issues for the rest of my life. Anybody that has preeclampsia is. And so having that and moving forward in my life, knowing that I need to maybe be more careful about what I eat and how I manage my lifestyle, having that knowledge and having those tools helped me in the recovery process. You know, setting up, establishing good care with a primary care doctor, so that after that 6-week postpartum checkup, if I had concerns, then I had somebody that I could rely on, somebody that I felt comfortable with being able to go back to and establish that relationship and that care pattern. So that was super, super helpful. And that helped get me through that mid to late postpartum timeframe. And I think that would be like my advice for anybody that is going through this is like, get a primary care doctor and keep that relationship and that line of communication open. That is a wonderful person that you support and that supports you and that that supports all your health goals, because that can really mean a difference of getting through a physical or a mental health journey that can be difficult. So I think I was able to get all the resources that I need to feel physically better. And then that then helped me refocus back on my work. Because as it turns out, I work in maternal health technology, and, you know, being able to look back, say 6 months after birth, and saying, I don't want this to happen to anybody else. This is not how it should be. And I want to make things better for the folks that come, you know, down the line. So that's sort of what the genesis of our project was. In my company, I started out by making a handheld ultrasound, and, you know, we got that FDA cleared right as the pandemic hit. And the idea behind the handheld ultrasound initially was, you know, it's really difficult for lots of different communities around the world to be able to access ultrasound imaging. Imagine going through a pregnancy and not ever once getting an ultrasound and then giving birth and hoping that it goes okay. So we developed that ultrasound for like low resource settings. But then after what I went through, I was like, all right, there are other pieces to the maternal care puzzle that aren't just for the clinicians. We as patients want to be able to track our symptoms and track our blood pressure, track you know, what's happening to us during the pregnancy journey, and have a record of that. Not only to be able to advocate for ourselves, because data is objective, and, you know, numbers do not lie, and, you know, that can mean the difference for people being hurt or not in an appointment or throughout their pregnancy. So that's where this initial idea came about, is just literally because I didn't want somebody else to go through what I did. So I teamed up with the rest of my team. We increased our team to be able to develop an app so that women could document their pregnancy journey from positive pregnancy tests all the way through their postpartum checkup and beyond, because so many pregnancy apps are so cute and entertaining, and, you know, you're 30 weeks and your baby's the size of a cantaloupe, and that's great, and it's feel good. But how does that really help in the context of the fact that we're still in maternal health crisis? Things are getting worse. They're not getting better.
I really appreciate you sharing about your advice about what to do for your recovery, because I do think that's really important for folks to know, like, how do I set myself up for after this? Because like you said, it's going to have a lasting impact. And I think many people walk away, okay, now I've done the 6 weeks, I've been cleared, but not really knowing where to go next or how to support themselves next. So I'm really grateful that you shared that piece. And I'm thinking about, you know, the advocacy piece is big. Like we talk about here, and especially for, you know, all of our care providers who do listen, about actually listening to patients. And that sometimes what we're saying, like, I might say my arm hurts, but I'm going to need you to help me. I might not have what it looks like exactly in your book, but I'm going to need you to help and support me to figure out what I'm saying and make it match, or at least connect to some thread, because something is happening to me. But like you said, data doesn't lie. And so if I'm presenting you with, like, my arm has been hurting for 6 days in this spot with these other symptoms, it is going to, like, help bridge that gap, for sure. And the power goes, I walk in with more power, right? And I think that that's the piece, like, you know, we talk about how, like, for some, like, our society, it's very much like doctors are right, but, like, we are also right. Like, we have known our bodies for years. And especially when you're pregnant, there's a new heightened sense about what is going on. And you may not always be able to, like, articulate what it is, but having this tool to walk into your doctor's office and be like, yeah, I've got it all here. So here's what I'm saying to you. And here's this other layer, and just how powerful that can be for someone. Because for some of us, it's real easy to walk into a space and be very vocal. For others, it is not that easy, especially when you're in this vulnerable state of, like, I'm not really sure what is all going on.
Absolutely. Like, I think you totally hit on it. The vulnerability that we have as patients going through pregnancy cannot be, like, overstated.
It is a beautiful and very scary time. It is both and. And we talk a lot about, like, creating your birth team, and that is, like, people who are going to listen, who are going to see you through all the emotions, all the feels that come up during this very sacred and vulnerable experience. Yeah. So such a powerful tool. So kind of walk us through where can we access the app and how do we utilize it and all that beautiful stuff.
Yeah. So if you've had experience with pregnancy and if you know what to expect and if you don't really have that many risks, or you don't feel that level of vulnerability, I would say, as much, then the app may not be for you. You know, that might not be what you need. But for those who have never been on a pregnancy journey before, or who have been told they have risk or already feel like they are kind of up against odds going through this medical transition, this medical and societal and emotional transition, then it can be a helpful tool. It's a free download on the iOS and Google Play Store. It's called The Journey Pregnancy. And literally all you have to do is download it and you can start entering your information. So at any point during a pregnancy or even and use it during postpartum, the idea is that this is a maternal health tool. And so this is not where you're going to get, again, like your, you know, like kind of more cutesy stuff. Like, oh, this week your baby's, the size of a rabbit. And these are the cute things that your baby's going to be doing this week. This is more like, hey, this week you're going to be getting you're likely going to be getting your like Tdap vaccine, or your doctor will talk to you about that. Those types of things. Or there are places where you can document questions for your provider. So sort of talking like we were before, when you've got 7 minutes or 15 minutes, depending on the type of appointment that you've got, periodically during the pregnancy. And that's it. Those are the only interactions you have with your provider until you give birth. And you might not even be giving birth with your same provider that you've been seeing all along. So depending on the setting and depending on your situation. So making use of those few minutes that you have each time with your provider, we found it a really helpful tool to be able to document the questions beforehand. You go in feeling informed and empowered and being able to have productive conversations. And it's a much more team-based approach with your provider. So that's in the app as well. Places to log your mood and your symptoms, blood pressure. If you enter a blood pressure that's out of the ACOG or CDC range, then you'll immediately get a notification. Hey, your numbers look like they're out of range. You should follow up with your physician. So it's, again, a tool for you to be informed about your maternal health that can be used in conjunction with all the other great tools that are available right now.
Yes. Yes. Because, and I know you said it's, you know, first time or working through, but I'm even thinking about, like, I have 3 kiddos and there are parts along the journey that you forget about what is going to occur, what is going to happen, or even being able to compare your pregnancies, right? Like, is this normal for me? Is this something that I've had happen before? Because, you know, we tell folks all the time, yes, if you've done it once, you are able to do it again. But like each baby, each pregnancy is going to have its own journey that you have to walk. And there might be some things that might have shown up the first time. The second time you're like, was my blood pressure like this before? And being able, because again, you now might be seeing a new care provider, the process it is to actually get your records. So being able to have this tool on hand to do this comparison, I think that would also be just a really great way to maximize the support that this app can give. The first time or third or fourth time, just how great it can be. Like, oh, like you said, your Tdap is this week. Great. What do I need to know about that? Do I want that this time? Does that feel good to me? And then even just the blood pressure piece is really, that's like, yes to that. Because, you know, we're expected to know, remember all these numbers, remember all these things. And that's why we do encourage folks, like, definitely have a doula, have someone walk alongside you on this journey. Your care provider, wherever you decide to have a baby, your care provider is there in those certain moments. But to have doula support, someone to really just be there every step of the way to be like, hey, I'm not sure, like, where do I get this information? What should I be reading? What makes sense? So you don't have to remember all that. But again, even if you aren't able to have that, to have a tool that tells you, your blood pressure numbers don't look in alignment. Let's check that out. That's so helpful.
We hope so. We hope so. yeah. Given the fact that numbers for like preeclampsia and gestational diabetes are rising, this is like one of the things that is of concern to like me and my team, to my community, to just everybody. There was a report recently released by Blue Cross Blue Shield Foundation that said that noted that over a 5-year period, preeclampsia has increased by 19%. And gestational diabetes, 16%, same time frame. And so like when we hear these numbers, we're like, oh my gosh, like definitely digital tools, you know, even no matter what your approach is to your birth and to how to manage that, having digital tools is almost sort of essential for our generation to be able to manage these things, or at least be informed of them, because the risks are just getting higher and higher for folks.
Yes, we are in a digital age, and how do we keep up and also maintain ourselves, but using digital tools in a, what's what I'm looking for, effective and beneficial way, right? Like this is beneficial to healthcare, to what I, well, I'm, my opinion is, this is a tool that is beneficial to healthcare, and a tech tool that makes sense. And I think about like, I've had home births, and how my home birth midwives have been able, when planning our, if I needed a transfer or not, being able to take my records and pass them on to partner hospitals that they had, right? So, you know, if I'm have my tool and be like, hey doc, here's, I'm sending over from my the pregnancy journey app all the things I've kept, can like message me back, because there's some doctors where you have like a chart, a portal, and you can put all those things in, right? Then instead of just having this random note in my phone, but something that like is specifically in alignment, right? So using our digital tools in a way that's supportive, just makes sense. It makes sense.
100%. Yeah. There is one of the things that we have been working on is the idea, the portability component of it. So definitely like being able to save your information anytime as a PDF and just like share that with your provider, with your care team, with anybody, your birth supporter, your birth partner, whoever. I think that is also, it sort of like democratizes your pregnancy data, frankly, in a way that you have control over it and that can help you. I guess sort of the other piece of all of this is there's been a lot of conversation about the safety of your data, especially if you're in the realm of maternal health, and especially in the realm of pregnancy, in this day and age, there are major and well-founded concerns about this subject. And I think like maybe that's, I'm not sure if you want to go there, but that's a subject that that we have seen and we've faced. And one of the things that some of the other like period trackers are coming up against.
Let's go there.
Okay. Go to the difficult place. Let's go. All right.
Let's go.
So let's see. Moving back to last year, last summer, and legislation changes in our country and all the things that have happened since then. The fact is that there are, as we know, there's some states, right, that I don't know how to say this diplomatically, that value women's health and autonomy in different ways than other states. And so as part of that, we're all here in this country in the US, and many of us have access, luckily, if we're fortunate, we have access to technologies like period trackers, to like pregnancy trackers like ours, et cetera. And for better or worse, we're in a data world and our health information is going into these tools. I think that early on, especially, there were some major concerns with some of these app creators cashing out from health information or having to be subjected to sort of like state regulations that maybe aren't friendly towards maternal health goals. And that puts patients in a really difficult limbo position. Like, can I use this to track my health? Am I safe? Is this going to get me in a position where I'm going to have a bad outcome, frankly, because my data are no longer private in a health concern? So one of the things that we've been watching this really, really closely, because I as a patient and, you know, our team, you know, we're in this, we're living this, like we use the products that we're developing. And so it's really important for us to, our app is all HIPAA compliant, and that's not necessarily like a prerequisite for a lot of these health apps that we're using. Like, so I would advise anybody, if you're concerned about your maternal health data, make sure that the app that you're using is HIPAA compliant, make sure that they're storing your data in a safe manner. And you can actually, you know, inquire about that and get a cogent and reasonable response from the app developers or the companies that are managing your data. We have a whole infrastructure in place in our company to make sure that people's health data is safe. We are never ever going to sell it to anybody, and that's our thesis and our philosophy. Again, not all companies are the same, but if you're using a period tracker or a pregnancy tracker, you may really want to look into that if this is a concern for you, or if you're in a state where your health isn't as safeguarded as in other states.
Thank you for going there, and thank you for sharing that, because that is important. It's very important to consider, and I think that thoughtfulness and intention is noted when, like you said, you consider yourself a patient. You use the things that you're creating, and you're trying to see it from both sides to ensure that the community has what they need in a way that they need it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is to also say, like, there are so many great solutions that are being developed by women, being developed by women of color, being developed for their specific community and the specific communities that they want to serve. Whereas in the past, maybe some of the more legacy technologies haven't been developed by women and are not necessarily informed by going through that journey. So I think that since now it's not where we want it to be, obviously, but, you know, our universe of technology is expanding. I would definitely say, like, look into the technologies. If you're like a patient that's going to go through this journey, look into the technologies that share your values or that hear you and that reflect your needs, because not all of them do. We're getting there. We're getting closer, but you can really tailor your needs to specific technologies that are being developed now.
I mean, it's the same with anything, like, find what feels aligned for you. Do your research and sit in the power of your choices. They work for you, then that's important. What works for you? No one else but you.
Exactly.
Oh, this is so great. So I am wondering if there's, and you've shared a little bit about where you all are headed with the app, but is there anything else that the community should be expecting? Could be expecting from you all. And then you already shared that we can find you on iOS and Google. And is there like expansion to other platforms? What might be next, and how can the community, if they want to get involved or get more connected to you all?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, thank you. Our mission is that we want to see maternal mortality as a relic of the past. So my grand hope, and I think that we all share this, right? That in 5, 10, 15, hopefully not that too long, but in years down the road, we can look back and tell people that at that point now, at that point in that later date or going through a pregnancy journey, say, hey, look, you know, there used to be this thing called maternal mortality, and this used to affect so many different people. Pregnancy used to not necessarily be safe for some people, and it could be dicey or dangerous at certain points. Now we've got all these great technologies and all these great supports at all the points down the line in your pregnancy to support you. And that's my vision and my hope, that we're just like a tiny little piece of that, that there are legislation and, you know, not just technology and the government supporting us, but there's so many different pieces, employers being able to provide the leave that people need to heal and bond with their child. There's so many pieces that need to get put in place. However, what you can expect from us is that we believe that there can be more of an emphasis on remote patient monitoring going forward, and that these tools can really be developed to work in concert with your care team, not to be an adversary or to supplant or get rid of your care team, but to enhance their ability to help you as a pregnant person going through pregnancy. So we've been working with clinicians and doulas and midwives and all the different folks that are in a pregnancy care journey to support patients. And developing this, for example, developing our app, the Journey of Pregnancy, and then also developing the clinician side of the software, which is called the Journey Clinic. So where if I'm using the Journey Pregnancy, which I am currently, then I can share my data in real time with my care team, and they can see my data points as I go. I don't have to be in the office to communicate my blood pressure to my care team. They can see that. And they can get an alert when it goes, only when it goes out of range, so that they can be aware and help me, for example. We foresee integration with medical records tools to make it easier for especially the OB segment to be able to access information. Because again, if you choose an OB and you know, you have, like you were saying, I have a spontaneous birth, you may not necessarily deliver with the person that you've been seeing all along. So the interconnectivity of a person's pregnancy information, if they choose to opt in, if the pregnant person chooses to opt in, to be able to share that information to help that patient have smooth data transfer, so everybody's on the same page about where they are health-wise and can make the best decisions for them. We're putting in all sorts of different technical pieces into place to be able to support that vision that we have, to help the care teams take care of patients and help patients feel more supported. I think another thing that people can expect from us is the ability to connect different wearable devices with your app, so that, for example, you know, your blood pressure, you don't have to manually enter that. You can take that with a Wi-Fi blood pressure cuff and it'll immediately go into your app. And that's one less thing you as the patient has to worry about as you're going through your pregnancy. So the interconnectivity with more different wearable devices, I think, is coming for all types of apps. And it's definitely coming for ours too. And then of course there's the AI piece. What is AI going to bring for us as patients in all realms of our life? And what can we do to make sure that AI is developed in a way that is responsible, that it is inclusive, that it is helpful, frankly, as opposed to creating barriers, creating more stigma, or creating more discrepancies between different populations? And how I believe that AI can be an amazing health tool if it's deployed correctly. And so we are exploring the possibilities of that as well, in terms of keeping physicians notified about how their patients are doing along their pregnancy journey. So that's a really long overview of what the vision is. But I think that there are the possibilities are endless. But I would say we do need support from our government, frankly. We need to be able to have universal paid leave, because no matter what technologies we put in place, if you're not given the time to heal, or your partner isn't given the time to support you while you're healing, then we've got a problem. You know, if we're continuing to legislate the different types of things that women can and can't do with their body, we have a problem. And so we've got to make sure that these forces are not working against each other to exacerbate the maternal health crisis that we already have.
Yes, you hit on so many things. Like you said, it's all the pieces to the puzzle, and it does. I mean, it takes a lot from the overseers that have a bit more control over those things to kind of be working in tandem to make sure we have maternity leave, to make sure that care providers are paid and given what they need to be able to support, that we are also supporting the community individuals on the ground doing the work to support the folks, pay doulas, pay home birth midwives, all of these layers that need to be done so that people can get the care that they need with the technology like yours, how it can all work together. But it does start with it starts with supporting all the layers and considering all the layers. Like, it's not just one piece. We've talked about that on here so many times before. Like, the maternal mental health crisis has a lot of layers to it, and there are so many solutions out there that are already working in tandem with each other, but don't have the support from the legislation and government to be able to get done what needs to get done. So I just encourage all of us as small pieces of that puzzle to keep thinking outside the box, keep supporting our community, keep uplifting each other's work so that we can fill in the gaps as they are right now, and make sure people have the access, responsible, intentional access to any type of care that they need.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. All of those things. And also I think like at the end of it and at the core of all of this, as the longer I'm in this industry, this sort of like women's health tech industry, the longer I see the need to just, I don't know if it's just in our society or if this is in other places too. I mean, I've worked in different places internationally and I'm married to somebody who's not from the US and just, you know, seeing these different things. But in our country and in our culture, we need to value women more. We need to listen to them more. We need to pay them equally. I mean, there's so many different spokes to this spider web and this wheel that, that it all have to be addressed in order for us to not have a maternal health, breakdown in our country. And so it is my hope that we can start to listen to women more and that will have additional effects, in our healthcare system and be able to value, of course, like the work that birth workers do in all different stages of the process, because it is so important and these supports are so necessary for people. But if we're not listening to women, we're not paying folks the right amount, that what does that say about our priorities as a society?
It's for a whole nother podcast day. True.
Sadly.
Right. Well, Cordy, you have already shared so much good stuff, but I'm wondering, is there anything else that you would like to leave our listeners with, whether it's advice, from your own experience, from work you've been doing within the app, just anything else you'd like to leave them with?
Yes. There are some thoughts I have in terms of like resources maybe, that I could recommend or ideas that I have that I'll leave you with. So first and foremost, I think we talked a little bit about like all the different technologies and all the different amazing things that have cropped up over a short period of time. I think that there are so many services that have like stepped up to specifically help serve communities of color. For example, apps like Health and Her Hue. It's a great resource to help you find a vetted provider of color, specifically during maternal health, but also in other areas. There's also the Black Maternal Health Center of Excellence. We recently have delved into this as an amazing resource. And I think that is, there's such a wealth of information there for people that are just starting to go into their pregnancy or just wanting to find more resources, more information. That's a great place to go. I will also say like the Wolomi app is another one that's doing really great work. Dr. Renesa Anthony has a program called Shiro that's worth looking into, especially if you're in her geographical area. And that is, you know, group prenatal support in a digital location. And she's a wonderful provider. I think also finding a good provider that you like trust and that you want to work with, somebody that's innovative and open-minded to new technologies. I'll just give a shout out to Dr. Sharon Thompson, who's amazing. So, Dr. Sharon Thompson is really, she's the owner and practicing director of Central Phoenix OBGYN. And she's really, really forward in terms of technology and serving. She's such a wide range of folks that she serves that she's really a thought leader in this space. So I would say look to her and definitely, you know, follow her on Instagram as well as follow us on Instagram. We're at Imagine S Tech. We also are on TikTok at The Journey Pregnancy, where we put out like pregnancy information for folks that want to learn more and, you know, get information from research-backed sources. So there's just a smattering of ideas that we have in terms of things that you can go to if you are pregnant or want to support somebody that is.
Wonderful. Thank you. And if you are a listener of the podcast for a little bit, both Health and Your Hue and Wolomi, we've had connected on the podcast. So that's always wonderful to see when things come for so good. Like I said, the community just being in connection with each other, trying to make sure that we are doing what we can to support the community and being able to advocate and get the care that they need. But all of what you shared today is just very wonderful. I'm excited for folks who haven't already tapped into the app to be able to start utilizing it and just finding it as a resource. And thank you for your time. your innovation, your creativity to make all of this come to fruition with your team.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the work that you do to support the maternal health universe. It goes a really long way. You're digital, you're in person, you're helping so many different people in so many different stages of this. And I am very grateful for the work that you do.
Thanks for listening to Birth Stories in Color. To hear this show and other episodes, head to birthstoriesincolor.com.